Christian Church. We're so happy you're here with us today to worship together. If you are a visitor, we invite you to fill out a visitor's card found in the pew rack in front of you. You're invited to put it in the offering plate as that is passed, and let us know if you'd like to be on the email list. Our announcements are found on the back of the bulletin. I want to personally thank everybody in our congregation for praying for me over the past year and a half. I haven't been able to preside in a long time, so I'm really happy to do that this morning, and I want to thank you for all your prayers. We have several on the prayer list, so be sure and keep those people in mind. Are there any other announcements?
I have one. There's a survey thing placed back by the door and out there, and this is we'd like to have everybody feel like they could be part of the leadership of this church, not only because we're small, but because that's one of the traditions in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, is that lay leadership is important. And Marsha put this list together. As we're getting back to normal, we thought it would be good to find out where people feel like they could be called to serve. There's all sorts of opportunities on here if you'd like to check that and leave it, maybe leave it up on the front pew here as you leave today or pass it around. There may be other things that you feel like you'd be called to do, like the gardening out front. David and Helen Heath have been really the point people for maintaining our garden area, and we helped it on the cleanup day, but as you know, gardening is an ongoing project. So if anybody feels called to help with maintaining the garden, things like that, just add what you feel like you'd like to do. And we appreciate that. And then Marsha also wanted me to announce that we're going to be taking pictures and putting them on a bulletin board. Not that we want everybody to be in a beauty contest, but there's a lot of new faces, and I talked to you this morning, and I've talked to you other mornings, and I still couldn't remember your name. So
I have trouble remembering it some
mornings. So if we have pictures and names, we can feel like we know each other better as part of our church family. So she's going to be doing doing that on the third Sunday, starting that on the third Sunday. If you're here, fine. If you're not, they can catch you on another day.
Okay, thank you, Marie.
Thank you, Marie.
Any other announcements? If not, please join me as we say together our affirmation of faith printed in the bulletin. We who are gathered as Bellevue Christian Church confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and proclaim him Lord and Savior. We believe the mission of Bellevue Christian Church is to worship God by gathering weekly around the Lord's table and committing ourselves to Christian unity, to seek to know God and to make God known through study and teaching of the Scriptures, and to create a loving faith community that invites and cares for all of God's people. Please stand if you are able for the call to worship. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. To sing.
Make a segue. So.
Please do.
Yeah.
book on the back, you'll see our prayer request that we have on our bulletin. We'd like to remember all of these in our prayers. Are there any others? Any updates?
I have one. I spoke to Helen Heath yesterday, and David is now home from Ridgeland Place, where he was receiving rehab, and he's getting home health and PT. She said he thinks he can do more than she thinks he can do. But anyway.
That's normal.
That's normal. I don't know. She said it's just a man thing. But anyway, they are home, and David is making continued recovery with home health and PT coming to the house and helping him out. So they're hoping that they can start to get out a little bit at some point in the next month or so.
Great. Any other updates?
Yes. Oh, no, I have an update. Oh. I'm so glad that my friend is can join us this morning, Donna Gray.
We welcome you, Donna. Anyone else? Well, let's continue to remember these on our list, Helen and David, the Rowe family, and the daughters, Ellie, Grace, and Paisley, that we've heard a lot about. Ethan and Abby, we've been praying for you all, for Vicki Dorman, Bill Clark's daughter, Jim Beller, Jim Barlow's friend, Larry Shelton, Carol Ann's friend, Donna Hale, a friend of Susan Oliver, Joanne Long, Susan's mom, Marge Swenson, Marie's mom, and Mark Gillum, Marcia's friend. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of gathering together. It might have been something that we took for granted a little over a year ago. But when we came to a time where it was just difficult, where we couldn't meet together for a little while, I think we realized what we were missing. Your word tells us that it's important for us to gather together, that we need that fellowship. We need that encouragement to spur one another along. We also thank you, Lord, that we can be a prayer group, that we can lift up the needs of those who are brought before us, that we can know that you hear our prayers. Things don't always work out the way that we want, but we know we can trust you that all will work out for your good. And so we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you invited us to pray. You gave us a great example when you taught us that prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of worship is number 263, Surely the Presence of the Lord.
Thank you.
bring your own Bibles for the scripture reading. Today I'll be reading from the New King James Version, John 5, 30 through 47. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's for the works which the Father has given me to finish. The very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, whom you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God. I have come in my Father's name, and I have not received you. If another comes in his own name, how can you be who receive honor from one another and who receive honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? May God bless the reading and hearing of the Holy Word. Amen. Our hymn of communion is number 384, Here at Thy Table, Lord. Lord's table, open to all. Christ has invited each of us to share in this spiritual meal of grace and love. Let us pray. O God, we are so grateful for this communion time, for it prepares us spiritually in our daily relationships and in showing our Christian love to all. We come to the table in memory of your Son, Jesus Christ, and remember his sacrificial love for each of us. Help us keep the light shining as we shower little drops of love, kindness, patience, and joy to others. Guide us in all that we do in Christian love and service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Jesus, when he first did this memorial, it's actually before he was crucified, he said to his disciples, "This is my body," as he passed the loaf. "As often as you partake of this, remember me and my sacrifice." Let's partake. In like manner, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is my blood. It's my covenant, the new covenant. Remember me as you partake." Thank you to Marcia for filling in last week.
Let me just tell that. Okay. The bread is under the juice cup.
We got these, but we didn't get any bread.
There wasn't under the knee, underneath?
Underneath.
Take the cup out.
We probably should have explained that, shouldn't we?
We're doing communion a little different today. So the bread is on the bottom. Okay, sorry.
That's right. It took us a long time to get those lids open on the other one. So. Hey, it's good to be back, and I want to delve back into the Gospel of John, chapter 5. And as we kind of go back into it, I want us to always point back to what was John's purpose for writing this gospel, other than the fact that it was inspired and he had these words on his heart. I think that the purpose could be summed up in chapter 20, verse 31, where it says, "These things have been written so that you may believe and have life in his name." Now it's talking about abundant life here on this earth, but it's also talking about eternal life in the name of our Lord Jesus. Now in the passage that we're looking at today, nowhere else in John's gospel does he make more extensive claims about who he is. And yet there were people who saw his miracles. They saw these great things that he had done, and they might have been, "Well, that's interesting. Wow." You know, but when it came to his claim to be the Son of God, they were like, "Oh, don't say that. That's blasphemy." Even though they saw things that were amazing. Now, in our own time, you know, I imagine that some people I remember talking to who would say, "You know, I find it hard to believe. If I could just see one good miracle, if I could just see one thing that's just amazing, then I know I wouldn't have trouble believing." But that's not the case. See, mankind's been down this road before. They saw all these amazing things that Jesus did, and yet they didn't believe. Matter of fact, in John 12:37, though Jesus had done so many signs before them, they still would not believe. So what is it going to take for people to believe? What is it that they got to hear? What is it that they have to see to believe? And so now you have these Pharisees, because if you back up to verse 18, you will see, "Therefore the Jews," that's talking about the Jewish leaders, by the way, the religious leaders of the day, "they sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but that he also said that he was God, that he was the Son of God, that he was equal with God." And they wanted to kill him. Well, now, that's an extreme way to deal with your disagreements, you know. So, okay, well, we got to get rid of him. What is it that they were afraid of? Probably losing control. Probably had a lot to do with, this is how they were brought up. This is what they're comfortable with. They've done all these works of the law, trying to live the law perfectly, which you can't do. But they were trying to do it. And now, all of a sudden, he comes along and says, "You know, it's okay for me to heal on the Sabbath. It's okay for that guy to pick up his mat and carry it on the Sabbath." And they had all these rituals and all these rules. But he said it's okay. And to them it wasn't okay. See, the Sabbath, as we mentioned a couple weeks ago, God had said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you will work, but on the seventh day, a day of rest. 6 days you will work. We don't like to work 6 days. Matter of fact, we get it down to 5 days, but then if some of you happen to have a job where you worked four tens, then you got it down to 4 days. Oh, and then some had 3 12s, and they got it down to 3 days. And we get all the way to retirement, and then we got all these days You know, it's like the idea of working 6 days. So the Sabbath, Jesus said, was made for man. It was for our benefit. So anyhow, you know, the Pharisees, they were trying to make all these regulations, making it the thing that man was made for, that law, and some of the others. So then, what's going to convince them? Well, probably nothing would convince them, but testimony is given. So if you can imagine a court of law, and a case is being presented, so you have to have witnesses. Judge says, are there any witnesses? And the lawyer says, yes, I'd like to call my first witness. Now, look what Jesus says here in verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Does that mean Jesus is saying, as I say that I am the Son of God, that it's not true? He's saying that it won't be received as being true if it's just his witness. Matter of fact, in the old law of Moses, in Deuteronomy, it talked about for a testimony to be valid, there had to be 2 or 3 witnesses. Now let me kind of jump tracks here for a minute, and we'll come back to that. Think about the resurrection of Christ. There were more than 2 or 3 witnesses that saw that Jesus was resurrected. Matter of fact, there were 500 at one time. 500 witnesses. That really states a case. But even with that, folks wouldn't believe. But now this precedes that. And so Jesus says, let me present some other witnesses. So if you look here at verses 33 through 35, you have sent to John. Or there, I'm sorry, 32. There's another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You've sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. So Jesus says, you all were okay with John the Baptist for a little while until he started saying, hey, the Lamb of God who has come to save the world. And they're like, whoa, whoa, what kind of nutcase is he? But he says, there's testimony. But he says, I have even a better one than that. I have a greater witness than John's for the works the Father has given me to finish. The very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. So again, Jesus is calling their attention to the miracles. He's like, what do you do with the fact that the guy had been lame for 38 years and now he's healed? And you're worried about these details. What do you do about that? What do you do about the fact that I turned the water into wine? That I healed the sick, healed the blind, healed the lame? So he calls attention to his works. But then as another witness, he refers to it that it's God. In verse 37, he says, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. Wow! You know, I would just kind of like to have seen them squirming, see their faces. I mean, if you talk about toe-stomping preaching, the only problem was they didn't trust the preacher. They were getting mad. I mean, he's saying, you religious people don't know God. Wow. He says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I've come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? He says, do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who will accuse you. Here's another witness. Moses. Okay, now, he's already got them wanting to kill him when he broke the Sabbath. When he says, now I can heal on the Sabbath, it's okay. They were wanting to do him in. Then when he claims equality with God, that's they wanted even more. Now he's telling them that they don't know God. You know, can we go get him now? And then when he says, you know who's going to accuse you? Their God. Moses. What? Moses? Moses, the lawgiver, that we're trying to do everything that Moses said and Jesus said, Moses will accuse you. All right. I don't know what held them back then. But he said, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. He wrote about me. You ever stop to think about that? That Moses wrote of Jesus? You know, one passage, Deuteronomy chapter 18, Moses says, the Lord will raise up another like me. Now, Jesus wasn't like Moses. He was more than Moses. But Moses was a great teacher. Miracles happened in the presence of Moses. He was prophetic. All of those things. Jesus was. But it just seemed like the Pharisees were missing that somebody was going to come. He said you should have known. There are other scriptures in the Old Testament that are messianic prophecies that talk about the coming Messiah. And one of them, you know, I think about the birthplace of Jesus, Micah 5:2, where it talks about Bethlehem. It talks about just this little place, but out of this little speck on the earth will come someone so great. Who would have known Jesus would be born in this place, Bethlehem? That wasn't his home, but it was his birthplace. So many things in the scriptures that talk about the coming Messiah. In his book, Can Man Live Without God? The author tells of a young student in Cologne, Germany. His name was Friedrich Nietzsche, who was considered a great philosopher, born in 1855, died in 1900. On one occasion when Nishi was first going to college, he asked for directions to the place that he needed to go. And this man decided he's going to have fun with him. So he gives him the address and directions to a brothel, a house of prostitution. Nishi goes there. He walks in. There's nobody there to greet him. He sees a piano. He goes over and he starts playing on the piano. Then he hears strange noises. And he gets up and leaves and he storms out saying, "The only thing with a soul here is that piano." Interesting enough, he goes through his studies and he becomes the youngest chair in the philosophy department. And is probably the first person who ever came up with the words, "God is dead." He even said, "God is dead and we killed him." Nishi died at 45 years of age. Had mental illness caused by brain tumors. Sure would have been good to have had a faith in a God who could take care of you regardless of if you live or die in that situation. Why is it that it's so hard for people to grasp this concept of the reality of God? You know, if you were to go to a college, it seems like philosophy departments, they're challenging your faith system. It's very common. And one of the things that's presented is, think about this story of three blind men who are put in different spots around an elephant. They're asked to describe the elephant. One of them is holding the tail and says, "The elephant is like a rope." Another one is got his arms wrapped around one of his legs and says, "No, the elephant is like a stout tree trunk." And another one is holding an ear and says, "The elephant has no skeleton." And then the brilliant response will be, "See, nobody has all the truth." Really? So if I'm holding a 36-inch yardstick up here, you could sit there and say, "You know, I think that one might be 39 inches. It looks a little bit longer." You might be up close and say, "No, I think that one might be 2 feet." And depending how our glasses do, you know, we might get some different perspectives there. But you know what? It is what it is. It's not up to my perception if that yardstick is 36 inches. It is what it is. God is who He is. He said, "I am that I am." It's not up to our perception putting blinders on so that we can't grasp who God is. The Bible is God's word. Interesting survey that was taken among church leaders recently. And it's staggering to me. But among all those who responded, "Do you believe that the Bible is the inspired and authoritative word of God?" 60% said no. I want to be counted among the 40 The Word of God is the Word of God. It is what it is. It's not up to my attempts to dilute it. It is the authority, the Word of God. And I love it. I know, I keep repeating this. But that we are committed to the study and teaching of Scripture. That's a great statement. Because the Scripture is true. Now, I don't guess I've ever read a GQ magazine, but anyhow, GQ magazine had an interesting article that I found. 21 books you don't have to read, and the Bible was one of them. And it just makes me ask the question, well, of all the magazines you don't have to read, I suppose GQ might be one of them. But anyhow, here's what the article wrote. Those who've read the Bible know that there are some good parts. Well, thank you. But overall, it is certainly not the finest thing man has produced. Man has produced. Did you catch that? See, here's the problem. The Bible is either a book about men written by God, or it's a book about God written by men. That has a lot to do with how we're going to respond to something as that article. Not the greatest thing man has produced. If man produced it, it should have all the pizzazz of Shakespeare. But if God produced it, then it's authority. Now, if we pull out from the Scriptures the prophecies that have been fulfilled alone, and we look at the testimony of the things that we've read, how can we not believe in the authority of God? We yearn for eternity. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has placed eternity in our hearts. You know, I find this interesting. An atheist professor at New York University, Thomas Nagel, he wrote this book, Why the Neo-Darwinian View is False. Now, the guy's an atheist. And he's saying that the Darwin theory is false. He says, the Darwin evolution cannot account for the mind of man. It cannot account for this zeal inside man to want something else. And even though he wasn't grasping the idea of why is eternity in the heart of man, he was acknowledging that man is different from everything else. And I've always thought it was an interesting thought. If man came from fish or monkeys, then why are there still fish? And why are there still monkeys? And, you know. Anyhow, it's refreshing to hear an atheist say, oh, no, that doesn't hold water. Neither does him being an atheist. But Jesus says to those Pharisees, you search the Scripture. That's a good thing, to search the Scripture. And we need to do that not just while we dust off our Bibles and come here on Sundays. We need to search the Scriptures daily. It's kind of like, I think I'm going to eat every day. I know I'm going to eat every day. Matter of fact, I know I'm going to eat too much every day. I just know it. And, you know, we got this yearning to eat. We know we need it. What about the words of God? I esteem as my necessary food. That's what the psalmist said. Search the scriptures. But one final thought. Let the scriptures search you. Let God speak to you through his word. You read the scripture. Let it speak to you. Let it speak to your heart about changes you might need to make. Let it speak to your heart, acknowledging that he is our authority. We come to our time of invitation. And maybe God's been speaking to you today. Maybe God's been speaking to you over the weeks. If God's speaking to you right now, just respond to him in whatever way is appropriate. And as we sing our invitation, hymn of invitation, we do want to invite you to receive Christ as Savior, to come forward, to surrender to him. We invite you to place membership with us. We invite you to come if you have prayer needs. If there's anything we can do to minister to you, then we invite you to come at this time. So we're going to turn to our hymn of invitation, number 589. Lord, I want to be a Christian. What a great thing to say at our invitation time.
Thank you.
prepare for our offering at this time. Opportunity to worship, to gather together, and most of all to know the reason that we gather is to worship and give praise to you. We thank you for all that you blessed us with and that we have the opportunity now to give back a portion for the advancement of your kingdom. So we pray your blessings now on the gift and the giver. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen.